Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew, chapter 14, we'll read verses 22 through 32 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 32. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 32. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when Jesus saw, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And let's finish on verse 32 together. Ready? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, thank you for Sunday morning. Thank you that we get to gather together here in your house. We get to hear your man preach your word to us. Lord, we stand before you needy. We stand before you sinful. God, please take the truth that you've given our preacher, burn it deep into our hearts, our minds. Lord, use it to change us so we could help others for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The sermon this morning is entitled, Help, I Think I'm Sinking. Help, I Think I'm Sinking. Jesus had left the crowd and he went to the mountain to pray. The disciples had been asked by Jesus to get on a ship and to go to the other side of the sea. In the middle of the sea, a storm hits. It was a bad storm. In verse number 24, we're told that the ship was being tossed. I know that we were on a ship, Mrs. Owens and I, Brother and Mrs. Domily. We were out in the middle of the ocean and we faced one evening 12-foot swells. And I'm going to tell you, I understand what it means to have a ship that is tossed, but we were on a great big ship. The ship that they would have been on would have not been built like the ships of today, but the Bible teaches that ship was being tossed. The word tossed means there were times when they actually felt like they left the pull of gravity. In other words, up out of the water like you'd toss a ball. Their ship was being tossed. The Bible then says that the wind was contrary. This is why I think they named storms after women. Katrina, the word contrary there in the Greek is word woman. The disciples are on this ship now. There's a bad storm. The ship is being tossed. The wind is contrary. As we read the story earlier, Jesus comes walking to them on the water. The disciples cry out for fear. Jesus tells them not to be afraid. He's not on the ship now. He's out walking on the water. Peter is on this ship. Peter asks Jesus, he says, I want to come to you. And Jesus says, come. Peter steps out of the ship and took a few steps on the water. The Bible says the storm is still going on. The ship is still being tossed. The waves are. The swells, it's all there. Peter's taken a couple of steps on the water, but Peter begins to sink. The Bible says that Peter looked at the wind and he was afraid. And he said, Lord, I'm sinking, save me. The Bible then says that Jesus stretched out his hand. He caught Peter. Then they both stepped back into the ship. The storm stopped. The ship did not sink. The men did not sink. And the story basically concludes. Have you ever felt like you were sinking? Have you ever felt like the ship of your life was sinking? You feel like the burdens of life had splashed water into your boat and weighed it down until you were virtually depressed by the weight of the pressure and the weight of the burdens of life? I'll never forget it. One day, there was a garage sale in the town where I grew up. I must have been about 10, 11 years of age, and someone was selling a 4-man raft. It was at the yard sale, and what a deal. Too good to be true. And most of the time, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. I got this raft. And me and my buddy said, hey, this is fantastic. I didn't have a pump to blow it up. So me and my friend Bill, we had to blow it up all by mouth. I remember how busy I was. That didn't help. Then we got that baby blown up enough and it had a hole in it. No problem. No problem. I had patched many a bicycle inner tube. So I got my tube patching kit. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, and that's because you live in this newfangled generation of cell phones. Every child ought to know how to fix an inner tube. I mean, that's basic skill of life. So I got my patching kit. A patching kit looked like an oversized pill bottle with two ends on it, and it had some glue on the inside, and then it had a rubber patch, and on the lid had this little scratchy thing, and what you'd do is you'd take the patch and you'd take some glue and you'd find the hole and you scratch over the top of it with this scratchy thing. You put the glue on there. And what I always did is I set it afire. You set that glue on fire. I don't know if you're supposed to do that or not, but that was my favorite part. You set that glue on fire, and while it's still hot, you slap the patch on it and you hold it. And don't get the glue on your fingers while it's hot because it'll burn your fingers. I've got missing fingerprints to prove it. But I remember I fixed that thing up. I thought, this is fantastic. I put that patch on there. Well, we reinflated the thing at home. The place where we're going fishing is about 2 miles away. Have you ever tried to carry a 4-man raft on your bicycle while it's inflated? We look like the Beverly Hillbillies with a Volkswagen taking a king-size mattress through town. And that thing kept on blowing off. And then I got this brilliant idea. Well, I'll take one of the ropes. I'm going to put it around my neck while I'm pulling. About strangled myself. I'll never forget it. The wind caught it. I'm going, whoa. Bill said, ride faster. I'm thinking, ride faster. I can't breathe. Finally, we got it out there. And the place where we weren't supposed to swim is called the gravel pit. Always the place you're not supposed to swim is the best place to swim. Don't disobey your parents. It's wrong. Well, we both had our fishing poles and we had our tackle boxes and we had our lunch. Any man that's going fishing is going to take something to eat. I had peanut butter and jelly and little Debbie cakes, you know, the oatmeal type with that cream on the inside, and pop bottles. Pop bottles. Y'all know what a pop bottle is made out of glass? And, we got to the gravel pit, Bill and I, and boy, we put our fishing poles in our raft and put our lunch out there and had our tackle box, and we had everything we needed, and we didn't have oars. That didn't occur to us. Sticks don't work very well. So we're paddling with our hands and we get way out in the middle and we get to starting to fish. And I wondered why it seemed like there was moisture on the inside of our raft. I kept thinking about the patch. I'd patched many an inner tube. But it was very obvious to me we had a problem. Well, we were taking on water. There was water coming in. It was coming in from underneath. And before long, we had taken on enough water that it was obvious our ship was going to sink. And so we did save our lunch. We ended up having to swim to shore, but really and honestly, lake soaked peanut butter and jelly is not as good as what you might think. And I also remember this. I had one fishing pole. Now, this is back before tackle boxes floated. I lost a tackle box, but I did grab one fishing pole. Bill was swimming right beside me, and I had a fishing pole in one hand. Every time I'd come forward, I'd slap him in the head with my fishing pole. Well, we made it to shore, and, you know, after we got off of our raft, it kind of got enough air in it that it floated around out there. But I remember that feeling that we were sinking. I remember the water coming on and the water becoming heavy and it was a terrible feeling, because we had great dreams for staying afloat and what we were going to do and how this was just a wonderful, wonderful situation. Some of you, emotionally, you put a patch or two on your emotions, but you're taking on water and you're weighed down a bit. And the raft of your life, you think, I feel like I'm sinking. Maybe you feel like these disciples that were out on this ship in Matthew chapter 14, and you feel the swells, the pressure of life, and it's weighing you down. It's become heavy. Have you ever felt like the waves of life would just overtake you? Have you ever felt like the storm that you face would overcome you? Well, on more than one occasion in the Bible, the disciples felt that. And in life, we're going to feel it. And if I could this morning, in a very simple and practical way, I would like to help you. I would like to help you if you say today, Preacher, help, I think my ship is sinking. If you say, help, I feel like I'm sinking. I think that as we glance at this story from Matthew chapter 14, I can throw you a life preserver. I think this morning I can help you to know how to contend with this feeling of, I feel like I'm going under. I feel like I'm sinking. Let me tell you what I think that you and I ought to do when we feel like we're sinking. Number one, stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. Matthew 14:33, it says, Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Do you understand at the end of this story, the ship held up? You say, well, what is the ship? In a moment, I'll describe to you a little bit of what the ship is. But all the disciples stayed in the ship and Jesus kept them safe there. Only one stepped out. And so you understand, Peter did step out of the ship during the storm. But what did Jesus do with him? Took him back and put him back in the ship. Why? Because it was safe to stay in the ship. I beg of you, Christian, stay in the ship of God's will. Stay in the ship of God's will. Stay in church. Hey, if your church is not corrupt doctrinally, stay in your church. Stay in the ship. God recommends something to some of you that are married. Stay in your marriage. Stay in your marriage and say, I feel like we're going under. Don't bail out. Don't bail out. Stay in God's will. Stay in your church. Stay in your marriage. Stay in your ministry. This is the ship of the will of God. Now, you're going to hurt yourself. You know, when I was facing the 12-foot swells, that big ship, it was in the middle of the night. I mean, to the point where it was rocking our ship so much, it tossed us out of bed. I went to the balcony, but I wasn't as brave as some. I looked out the balcony and I seen the swells. And, you know, I'm glad I had the good common sense to say to myself, I think I'll stay in the ship. I am not about to jump out there. You say, why? There are sharks. There are sharks, and you all know I don't like sharks. And sharks don't like me. I'm just sure of it. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. You get out of the ship, there are sharks out there. You'll drown yourself if you're not careful. I am so glad that we see in this story they stayed in the ship. They stayed in the ship of God's will. They stayed in the ship of the church and stayed in their marriage and stayed in their ministry. Folks, stay in your Bible. Stay in your Bible. Hey, men, when you feel a little bit overwhelmed, that is not the time to back out of men's prayer meeting. You don't back out of prayer when you're sinking. You dive into prayer when you're sinking. Those of you that are taking Bible college classes, you say, oh, preacher, I feel so overwhelmed with the burden. This is not the time to bail out. Don't bail out of the ship. Stay on your knees. Don't bail out. Hey, folks, quitters are a dime a dozen. Quitters are a dime a dozen. You know, had they dove out of that ship, they would have surely drowned. Why? God wanted them to stay in the ship. They needed to stay in that ship. Stepping out of the ship would have made it worse, not better. How in the world the devil deceives us into believing, leaving God's will, leaving our marriage, leaving our church, leaving the Bible, leaving our soul winning, leaving our prayer life. How in the world the devil is able to convince us that will make things better, I have no idea. But he's pretty slick, isn't he? He is pretty slick because he can pull the wool right over our eyes and there we are on the balcony of the boat with 12-foot swell saying, hey, folks, I'm diving in. You stay here. I'm going out in the water. Satan's smart. You say, I feel like I'm going to sink. Stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. Don't let Satan lure you out of the ship of God's will. Don't let Satan intimidate you out of the ship. So if you say, I feel like I'm sinking. I feel like I'm overwhelmed and the water's splashing and the weight of the burden of the water of life is getting me down. Stay in the ship. May I say, secondly, don't panic and start throwing other people overboard. Don't panic and start throwing other people overboard. I'm glad on this ship they all didn't start blaming each other and grabbing people and saying, let's find out if you're the one. But you know what Christians will do? They'll begin to face a burden, life inflicted or self-inflicted, and if you're not careful, they just start blaming everybody. You know, in the story of Jonah, maybe this whole story of Jonah being cast overboard was a part of God's plan, but I don't see that this is one of the things that God wants us to do on a regular basis. The Bible says in Jonah 1:15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. You're going to find out that's the only place where they cast somebody overboard and the storm stopped. Every place else, the storm just kept going. So you got a unique situation with Jonah. God was not saying to all Christians, when the going gets tough, just start grabbing people and tossing them overboard. I'm going to tell you, you say, right now, Brother Owens, in our marriage, it's rough. Well, yeah, don't grab your wife and throw her overboard, buddy. You don't bail out when it gets tough. I'll tell you what, I'll just get rid of her. You don't bail out. You don't throw your husband overboard. I'll just throw him to the sharks. You show me where that's the Christian thing to do. You see, what happens, you get panicked. If you're not careful, you'll start tossing other people overboard. Toss your wife overboard. Toss your husband overboard. So you young people, pressure comes in your life and you're now a teenager and life has become a little confusing to you maybe. And if you're not careful, you'll take your relationship with your mom and you'll just toss it overboard. You toss your relationship with your dad overboard. Folks, you don't toss the people overboard that love you. From what I can tell in this story, these people said, we're in a storm and we're going to stick together. We're going to help each other. We're not out to hurt each other. And I see here a storm had come and the ship could have sank and the individuals in the ship could have sank, but they didn't start grabbing people and blaming people and start throwing people overboard in a rage. Don't toss your mom overboard, teenager. Don't toss your dad overboard. Hey, and parents, don't toss your kids overboard for long.
And some of you kids ought to be glad I'm saying what I'm saying right now, because you would be shark bait by the end of the week if your preacher didn't come to your aid. Because you can tell by looking some of your parents' faces, there's rage. And every parent contemplates certain species eat their young. There's a reason for that. And some of you are saying, I'm at my wit's end. Tie a knot and hang on, baby. You can do this. But don't grab your kids and throw them overboard. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your husband. Don't give up on your wife. Don't give up on your mom. Don't give up on your dad. You say, the burdens of life are getting me down. Why are you grabbing other people and pushing them away? Why toss them off the boat? And sometimes we just get down. So we start losing our temper. We start pushing people away. Hey, anybody that was near the edge, get around you right now. Well, you're having a tough time. You'll just cast them overboard. Could I recommend that you not toss your Christian brother overboard? Oh my, the way we can treat people. You face a burden, you don't grab your Christian brother and toss him overboard. And I'll tell you something, some of you, we have folks that have, they threw themselves off the ship. Their burdens of life came, whether self-inflicted or life-inflicted, and they tossed themselves off the ship. Some of you better stop and realize something. Some of them are coming to their senses. They're trying to jump back on the ship, and you're right by the railing, and you're pushing them back off. What are you doing? We're trying to get them back in the ship. Sure, people make mistakes. Not everybody's perfect like you. But good night in the morning. Somebody that, hey, you say, but they chose to jump off the ship. I know. Haven't you chosen to do wrong? You can be dead sure. Those of you that want to climb back on the ship, you got a helping hand from your preacher. Climb aboard. Climb aboard. We'll get you out of that mess. But Christians are not supposed to be tossing each other overboard. And they did not in this story. They did not. I'll recommend something to you. And it is not because it includes me. I want to take me out of the picture. One of the dumbest things you'll do is when you're in a storm is toss your preacher overboard. You don't toss the pastor overboard. That's like tossing the shepherd overboard and you're a sheep. We don't need you. That's not real smart. That's not real smart. You need someone to help captain you through the storm spiritually. And whether you like it or not, that's a pastor's job. Grab him. Toss him overboard. Don't, please. I don't like sharks. You see, first thing I see in this story, they stayed in the ship. Next thing I see, they didn't start grabbing everybody and throwing them overboard. Thirdly, well, you'll like this. Left sinking on a ship were a captain and three passengers. The captain spoke first. Folks, this business of the captain going down with the ship is nonsense. There's a 3-man life raft here on board and I'm going to be on it. To see who will come with me, I'll ask each of you a question. The one who cannot answer properly will have to stay behind. So only two of you can get on the raft with me. Well, he goes to ask the first question. He says, what unsinkable ship went down when it hit an iceberg? The first sailor answered, the Titanic, sir. And the captain said, you get to get on the raft with me. On to the second question. How many people perished with that ship? The second sailor said, 1,517, sir. He said, you get to get on the raft with me. Then he says, now, for the third question, a tiebreaker. The captain turned to his mother-in-law, said, number 3, give me all the names of those people that perished. Seems fair. So what do you think? Mother-in-laws know everything? They think they do. Put up or shut up. The storm hit. Jesus had put them on that ship. He went to the mountain. It's raging. They're afraid they're going to sink. Jesus shows up. Peter steps out. Jesus takes him back to the ship. The storm ceases. Now, let me tell you something. If you'll hang in there, your storm will cease. That doesn't mean you won't face a storm again someday. But your storm, it too will cease. Say, what do I do until then? Stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. Folks, one of the worst mistakes I watch people make is when they get down, they start making life-altering questions. Or life-altering decisions. When you're down, you don't start making life-changing decisions unless they're for the better. Men, what do you do? Don't panic and start throwing other people overboard. Then what? Get to Jesus. Matthew 14:28 says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Was it all about Peter walking on the water? No, Peter was scared. Peter wasn't trying to go down in history for walking on the water. Peter wasn't standing there saying, you know what, I'm just totally full of pride and I want to walk on water so everybody talks about it. No, the reason he got to take a couple steps is because Peter needed Jesus and he knew who he needed. He was scared and he said, I need to get as close to him as I can possibly get. And Jesus, if you're not coming our way, I'm coming your way. Now, we do know that Jesus came his way because he grabbed him, took him, because Jesus was on his way to that ship anyway. That's where he was going. He was going to steady all those other disciples. But folks, if you're in a storm and you feel like you're going to sink, stay in the ship. Don't start casting everybody else overboard and get yourself to Jesus. Get in your Bible. During a storm, you read the Bible more, not less. Let me say it again. During a storm, you read the Bible more, not less. And then it might not hurt that you live what you read. It's not Bible reading is not just casual entertainment to keep your mind busy. It's life-changing truth. It's not to be read over to see what you like and what you don't like. It's to be read over and to be lived. Get to Jesus. How do you do it? Get in your Bible. Get on your knees. How much have you prayed this week? I wish I had time to develop what I'm about to say. The less you pray, the greater your pride. The less you pray, the greater your pride. You say, how's that? You don't need God. You can do it yourself. There are some people that have been through some pretty heavy burdens lately, and I'll promise you, their prayer life has been intensified. I had a lady say to me just yesterday, she said, I am praying constantly, and my burden has increased my prayer life. The less you pray, the greater your pride. Which means this, those of you that virtually don't pray, you are full of pride. If all you do is pray over your meals, you're full of pride. And that doesn't mean that you're arrogantly walking around the church with your nose in the sky. It means that you don't seem to think that you need God's help. Because if you needed God's help, you would be going and getting it. You see, Peter wanted to get to Jesus, and Jesus was on the way to those disciples. And if you face a storm, the smart thing to do is don't jump out of the ship. Don't start grabbing other people and throwing them overboard. And make sure that you get to Jesus. You get to Him through the Word of God, and you get to Him through your prayer life. Hey, you might need to get to Him through the confession of your sins. Your sin will separate you from feeling like you're close to God. When was the last time you had to confess a sin? It was very obviously in your life. When was the last time? Just so you all know, everyone under the sound of my voice should have been burdened down by some sin you committed this week. To where you had to go to your God and say, God, that was terrible of me. You say, Brother Owens, your perception of me is so low. No, my perception of Jesus is so high. You don't tell me you made it all the way through the week and didn't do something that was terribly bad against your God? I'm going to guess you're not seeing things right, are you? That may be why your ship is sinking. Hey, I'm going to tell you, somebody say, oh, I'm so burdened down. But we're lucky if we see you in church once every 4 weeks. You're not here Sunday morning. You're not here Sunday night. You're not here Wednesday night. You don't come to Sunday school. Oh, I'm so burdened down. If you want to be with God, maybe you ought to come to God's house for a little while. When I wanted to be with my wife before we were married, I went over to their house. Now, you can be with God at home, but He just happened to create a place called the New Testament Church, and He requires you to come there. And remember, I'm not the one that wrote the book, and any of you that doubt that, you ought to just stop and realize something. They've been preaching about the necessity of church attendance and faithfulness for a long, long time. You can't be right with God and stay out of church all the time. And no wonder you're so depressed, and no wonder you're going under, and no wonder the waves have gotten you, no wonder you have a bad attitude, no wonder you're ready to throw your preacher overboard and the other people in the church overboard, and nobody likes you, and everybody hates you. You're down. Why? Get yourself back in church where you belong. Realize you're backslidden about your church attendance. You say, I've had some moments of not being well, and I understand that. Brother Herb Brenner, are you here? Where are you at? Brother Renner, because of what I'm going to say, more people are going to pray for you. But you'll watch that man walk into this church dragging his oxygen. He's under the care of hospice. Brother Renner, you and I know, barring an intervention and a miracle of God, someday you're going to go to heaven. And I know people that can breathe just fine. I know people that are 30 and 40. They can't get the energy up of that. Brother Renner, how old are you? I'm going to give you 80, okay? Sounds better in my preaching. That man of 80 years of age, he can walk 10 steps and he has to stop and go. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And your attitude's sick. I salute you, Herb Renner. What a man. What happened to Christians like that? We're looking for excuses. And I don't think that everybody, when they're sick all the time, ought to come to church. But I'm going to tell you something. We have a mamby pamby, tail between your legs kind of Christianity today that's looking for excuses instead of solutions. And you wonder, I feel like I'm sinking. Get in the boat! Not being in church is like throwing yourself overboard. It's called God's house. Or are you a part of that new movement where the New Testament church is no longer important? You do not need a pastor, for you can shepherd your own little flock right at home. Hey, what I'm trying to tell you is just get to Jesus. Get to Jesus. Did you know that you can face any storm that comes your way with the help of Jesus? Let me ask you a question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Get to Jesus. What does that mean? Be filled with the Holy Spirit, Christian. And if so, what great thing has God accomplished through you this week? Because I'm going to tell you this. Anybody that's filled with the Holy Spirit, God did something with them this week. Yes, it's not a tingly feeling. It was given to you for production. It was given to you for a purpose. It's not a little badge that you wear on the front of your jacket. It is an energy. It is a power for the success of the Christian in reaching a lost and dying world. You see, someone said, I think we're going to sink. What would your recommendation be? Well, let's see what the scripture says. Stay on the ship. Don't start throwing everybody overboard. Get yourself close to Jesus. What else? I'd recommend you not look at the wind. I'd recommend you not look at the wind. Bible says in Matthew 14:30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Peter looked at the wind, and the wind tampered with his faith. Wind is pressure. Some of you almost fear pressure. You know, the people that fly kites love pressure. People that fly kites like wind. Has something to do with success. You know, a windmill can transform pressure into power. Folks, I'm going to recommend something. I'm going to recommend that you say, I feel the wind. Then let it become the wind beneath your wings and let it take you to new heights, not keep you down. You know, this thing of looking at the wind. There's some of you, I'm going to tell you where you make a mistake. You stare at your storm. You stare at your storm. If you hear that a terrible thunderstorm's coming and you go on the front porch and you stare in the distance where it's coming, you're going to be scared. Why don't you just go ahead and wash the dishes? Do the laundry. Your husband needs clean socks. You know, staring at the storm does not solve the storm coming. So what do you do? Well, I wouldn't look at the wind if I were you. Oh, it's so bad. Listen, I'm going to tell all of you something about, you take some of our people that are mourning and grieving a little extra right now. I've got 3 or 4 folks that have lost loved ones, and all of us want to express our love and concern. But can I tell you all something? If every time someone that's lost a loved one comes to church, we walk up to them and say, how's it going? Well, they were fine until you came up to them. Think about it. Those of you that you lost someone you love, you're glad for someone to inquire. But folks, if you overwhelm them with the negative of the storm, there's a way to love someone without depressing them. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And I want you to grieve, and everybody here knows. All of you that have lost loved ones, you know your preacher wants you to grieve. And you know that your preacher's heart is tender toward you. What I'm going to tell you is, hey, and let's leave even that grieving process for a moment. There are a bunch of you. You're in a storm. Did you know that you will not pay your mortgage by staring at the bill? Oh, it's so bad. Let's look at the bill again. Yeah, it's still the same amount, but in 2 days they're adding 10%. You might want to go to work. I wouldn't stare at the wind. Some of you are party animals. Say, how so? Pity party. Let's party. You say, you don't have compassion. You don't know me. Trying to get you out of self-inflicted molly grubs. I have burdens too. I could begin to tell you that what I've been through in the last 3 months. But you know what I decided to do? I decided to get so busy helping everybody else that I'd make it through my burdens. I have people that I love that are dying from cancer right now. I've intensified my efforts in helping everybody else that's hurting. Why? I'm not going to stare at the wind. I am not going to stare at the wind. I'm going to look to the eastern skies and see the Son of God. And I'm going to keep on going. And that is not a lack of compassion. It is a purpose for my emotion. So I don't crumble in the wind. I don't want to sink. Stop entertaining your depression. I'd say be careful looking at the wind. So what are you talking about? Stay busy. Go help somebody. Work through your storm. Work your bus route. Good. Work your Sunday school class. Show up and do your duties around the church. I think I'll just stay home and think about how bad I've got it. You really think you're doing yourself any good? Go to work. Go to work. Go to work. Look at Jesus, not the wind. Say in your schedule, Don't stay home from church and lick your wounds. Now, every once in a while, I think somebody's going to stay home. They've been hurt. And I understand that. But it almost becomes a perpetual excuse. You see, if all you do is think about how bad your storm is, you'll make your storm worse.
That's right.
And something happens to me every Saturday morning. I'll come in on a Saturday morning and I go to my office and I'll go to the men's prayer meeting for a little while and I'll counsel and then I'll counsel and counsel and counsel. Yesterday, I got done around, I think it was around 4 o'clock. I got done counseling for the day. And the very last person in, I always say, "What's the weather like outside?" They'll say, "It is cold and it's snowing." And I go, "What? How did all that weather bypass my notice?" You know what? I've been so busy helping people, didn't even know we were having a storm. Might keep you from going insane.
Yes, sir.
I told someone yesterday, they said to me, said, "Preacher, how are the difficulties in your life?" I said, "They're fine." I said, "They're not here in my office right now." They said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I put them outside there in the hallway. I'll pick them up on my way out." You know what happened, Brother Kelvington? I spent all day helping people with their burdens. Went outside my office door. I looked around for that package called my burden that I left outside the door. There's a little note there. It's from Jesus. And it said, "Preacher, I'll just go ahead and carry these next couple days for you. You're not going to find them." Stop staring at the storm. Stop staring at the storm. Get your eyes on Jesus. Hey, let me tell you something. You in a storm? You say, "I feel overwhelmed, the weight of it. I feel like I'm going to sink." I'll tell you something. Don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid to cry. Matthew 14:30, it says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Let me tell you something. That is a mixture of the raising of the voice and the emotion of he cried. I mean, when there's a storm going on, Peter is out there standing and about to sink in the ocean with the sharks. I would be crying real tears. Peter cried out. Folks, let me tell you all something. Tears are okay.
Yes, sir, they are.
God understands your tears. If you've been brought up in an atmosphere where you're a man and you were told boys don't cry, I'm very wrong. I'm sorry. That is very wrong. Jesus wept and he was more a man than anybody that's ever walked the face of this earth. Tears are not a weakness. Now they can get out of hand, but they're not a weakness. There's somebody in here. You've been holding in part of your grieving process. Can I tell you what somebody here needs to do? You need to go somewhere and cry. You need to shed those tears. You need to let some of that pressure off. You need that. There's nothing wrong with that. Tears in the physical body help to wash the eyes of impurities. And tears may clear up your spiritual eyesight too. Let some pressure off. It's okay to cry. It's okay to have tears. And I see that Peter cried out because he thought he was going to sink. And somebody here may need to take a moment at the altar and let the tears flow for a little while. You see, they thought they were going to sink. What do? Stay in the ship. Don't panic and start throwing other people overboard. Get as close to Jesus as you can. Don't concentrate on the wind. Don't look at that burden continuously. Don't be afraid to cry. You say, "What else could I do?" Well, I'd recommend that you'll find out that Jesus will help you if you'll just trust him. Did you know there's no problem that you have that is so big that Jesus can't solve it? In Matthew 14:33, it says, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" Notice, only one, Peter, had the faith to step out on the sea. The others could have, but they didn't. But I thank God they did not run. They stuck it out, even though maybe their faith for the moment was a little weaker than Peter's. But Jesus saved them all. Say, "Preacher, my faith is not as strong as others." If you'll do what I'm telling you, whether you step out of the ship or stay in the boat, you'll still be safe.
Yes, sir.
You say, I seem to have weak faith. Just do what I just told you and you'll be okay. You say, preacher, I can't step out on the water. I can't walk on the water. I don't think God's asking you to. He's just asking you to believe that you're going to be okay and He's going to take care of you. Just don't run.
When Peter began to sink, Jesus said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
Well, now he's the one that walked on the water. If Jesus is saying to the one that walked on the water, you have little faith, how little was the faith of the ones that didn't even try to walk on the water? But guess what happened? They still were salvaged and their ship did not sink.
I have people say these sort of things to me all the time. Well, brother ones, I'm just not like you.
I just don't have that supernatural faith like you. Well, just so you know, I'm a human being just like you. But God is not asking you to have the same kind of faith that I have, or that I'm to have the same kind of faith that you have. God is saying, have faith in God. And to whatever degree you can put your confidence and faith in God, put it in Him, all of it. Maybe your faith level is not the same as my faith level, but whatever faith you have, you could give Him 100% of it. And whatever faith I have, I could give Him 100% of it. It is not a competition to see who has the most faith. It is a competition with you and the devil to see who you will trust. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God, Christian. Believe God. He said, but I don't see how He's going to get me out of this mess. Sometimes you don't need to see how He's going to get you out of this mess. You just need to know that He knows how He's going to get you out of this mess. Jesus, He saved them all. I'm glad those on the ship that had the weakest faith did not run. And He took Peter back to the ship anyway. Not everybody can walk on water, but everybody can stay put and do what God called you to do. And some of you got run in you. You get running. You have a bump and you're ready to run. I'm going to run. It's like jumping out of a ship. Jesus has the answer, even if you don't.
Right.
Do you have a self-inflicted storm? Might be good if you just admit to it and trust Him. Stay put and let Him do something for you. Let me say finally, and I'm finished. Once you make it through the storm, it seems to calm down. I'd recommend this. Don't forget that He pulled you through the storm. It says in Matthew 14:33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him. What had happened? They thought they were going to die. Thought their life was over. Jesus came along and salvaged them. What did they do? He said, well, we owe you. Did you all know something? You owe God. He saw you through. Now don't you turn on Him. How long is it going to take, Christian, after your most recent ship sinking experience where you had your moment with God? Oh God, I'm coming back to you. How long is it going to take before you are wandering away again, forgetting that He saved your life? God healed you. God did a miracle for you, and God saved your life, and God saved someone that you'd begged Him to save. God intervened in a situation. God did a miracle for you and salvaged something. And oh, during it, you were so tender and oh God, whatever you want. And oh God, I'm coming back to you. And oh God, I'm going to be in church. And oh God, you can have my life. It's been 2 months and you're back to your old ways already. Can I recommend something to you? You ought to praise Him as much after the miracle as you begged Him for the miracle. It's one way to get miracle number two. Because there are some of you that have used God like a credit card. You needed Him. You poured your heart out. He intervened and did something for you. It didn't take you long to go back to your old ways. Now you're doing the same things you promised Him that you wouldn't do. But I'm going to warn you. There may come a day when you call and He won't answer. There may come a day when He realizes that you used him unwisely to the point where you're begging for something and you turn your back on him as soon as you get out of him what you want. Did you know God has the option of the next time around saying, I remember how you treated me. I remember how you promised me you'd be in church, and you promised me you'd serve me, and you promised me you would tithe, and you promised me that you would give, and you promised me you'd go soul winning, and you promised me you'd stop your filthy gossip mouth, and I salvaged you and I did a miracle for you, and now you're right back at you. You're an Indian giver. God may say, next time I'm just not real sure I'll be so quick to answer your prayer. Do you want to have the assurance of another miracle? Then you better treat him right after you get the first one. Don't misuse God. He spared you. Do you know something? Before God spared you, you owed him everything. What did you promise him in the storm that once you safely reach port, you have not given him? If I were you, I'd keep my eyes on Jesus during the storm. My raft sank. I know what it's like to be in a boat that's being tossed. There's a right way to behave yourself in a storm. We see that right way in the story of these disciples from Matthew chapter 14. Examine it, Christian. Let the sermon help you today. Somebody here, your God has done something great for you. Maybe you need to come down here today and worship him for a little while and say, oh God, I have not forgotten what you did for me. Remember, he deserves as much praise on this end of the miracle as you begged him on the other end of the miracle to give it to you. If you're here today and you're not saved, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not saved, you need to get born again. You need to make sure that you have secured your eternal destiny in heaven. You will not do that through you. You'll do that through him. He is the old ship of Zion. You need to trust him to take you to heaven when you die. If you die today and you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven, in a moment you ought to walk the aisle, come down here, let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. That will be the start to helping you bear your burden. Some of you that are unsaved, your burden will stay heavy on you. Those of us that are saved have the God of the universe living inside us. He will help and guide and strengthen us to attend to the steps that I gave you today about bearing your burden. But you need to get saved to get his help. Let's all bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. The sermon, help. I think I'm sinking. Is there anybody here under the sound of my voice that would say, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. Pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I'm not on my way to heaven. God bless you. I see that hand. Somebody else, you say, I'm not saved. If I die this day, I'm not going to lie in church. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm not going to lie to you, preacher. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not born again. God bless you. Someone else, you say, that's me. God bless you. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, that's me. In a minute, we'll have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, the instrumentalists will begin to play. The choir, the congregation will stand. The choir will sing. The men that are sitting on this platform will step off the platform and post themselves down front at the end of each aisle. If you're not saved, you leave your seat. You walk down the aisle. Whether you leave from the balcony or you leave from the lower floor, you leave and you come toward the front. Walk up to one of the men and say, I need to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. How you can know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You say, I don't think I'll die today. You don't know when you'll die. This could be your last day. Maybe God brought you to church to save you. If I were you, I'd make sure that you get Jesus in your heart today. Is there somebody that would say, preacher, in the sermon, in those steps somewhere, God has spoken to my heart very, very specifically about the storm. And I know that God is speaking to me. And he's done something in my heart by way of the sermon. And some point within that truth, would you raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me. Well, God bless you. You may put your hand down. Some of you need the altar. Somebody needs to come and get saved. Somebody's been saved. You need to come and make it public. Somebody needs to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Somebody needs to come and lay yourself at the altar for a moment and rethink what God's done for you. And Some need to adjust yourself in regard to how you're handling the storm.